say we've all probably had the experience of being cheated on. And of course, it's such an unsettling feeling when you have your suspicions that your partner is being faithful. That trust is such an important part of a successful relationship, that once it's broken, it's very, very difficult to return things to the way that they were. But what are some of the signs? What are some of the things that are red flags that could be evidence that your partner is cheating on you? Well, to talk more about that for our regular Wednesday night slot, Ask Dr. Josh, is Dr. Josh Claypaw joining us all the way from the United States. Dr. Josh, good evening to you.
Good evening, Sarah Jane. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. So, infidelity. I mean, it's something that I would assume, unless you're very, very unlucky, everyone is likely to go through at some point in their lives, whether it's when you're first dating, you know, in high school and you find out that the guy that you're dating has seen somebody else in your class, or whether it goes through to marriage and situations where people are known to have years-long affairs. Once that trust is broken, it is absolutely devastating. But are their signs, and so often when people speak about, or once they discover that their partner's been unfaithful, they say, I wish I'd seen the signs, or looking back now, I can see the signs. From an expert point of view, are there certain behaviours that are red flags as to the fact that your partner may be cheating?
Well, I like the way you phrase that, because I do get asked a lot of times, are there signs that they're about to cheat or they're going to cheat? And I think one of the challenges there is not to parse, but, you know, how do you define cheating? And what happens more times than not is the signs that you see are usually signs that something at some level is already happening. And what I mean by that is they may be having feelings for somebody else and have not done anything. They may have contacted somebody. They might have seen somebody and not engaged in anything physical. So there's lots of different stages, if you will, of cheating. And what you end up seeing as the partner are a variety of red flags. And those red flags, unfortunately, can mean anything from your partner's having a change of heart to they've been carrying on an affair. It's real hard to catch it, you know, if you will, before, or know for sure if it's before, but there's definitely telltale signs that something is up for sure.
So let's have a look at some of those telltale signs. If you are joining us this evening and you'd like to share your own telltale signs, or maybe even if you're bold enough to admit some of the things that you have done in the past when being unfaithful that eventually got you caught out, then I would love you to join the conversation. 021-446-0567 is the studio number. Okay, so people obviously will be very concerned about their appearance. When you get into a new relationship, you want to look your best. Should you be looking out for if suddenly your partner's coming home with new clothes from the mall, or is changing their appearance? Why is that? Why is that a red flag in particular?
Well, it's a red flag. So the only problem with that one is you can have a lot of, I guess you would call them, false positives. So people change their looks and change their dress and the way they're clothed for lots of reasons. They may be feeling good about themselves or bad about themselves. They may be trying to attract you as a mate because they feel like there needs to be a spark in the relationship. However, what they may also be doing is they may also be looking at themselves through a new lens, that lens of this other person, and it's almost as if it's a new romance. They're feeling that sort of excitement of somebody new who cares about me, who's attracted to me. I'm going to start paying attention to the way I dress and how I look. And the reason that it's a red flag is if it particularly happens kind of suddenly or within this, a few weeks, you got to ask the question why. Now, again, it may be because, you know what, I want to spice up our relationship. Or, you know what, I'm tired of the way I look. But it could also be I'm doing it for somebody else, even if they don't say it.
Indeed. The next one that I find very interesting, and this really rung true with me, not that I have ever cheated or I mean, I have been cheated on. But just as a sign that something in the relationship isn't right is that couples may stop arguing or a partner may stop arguing. Now, you may think, of course, well, you know, if there's problems in the relationship, it must mean that you're fighting all the time. Sometimes one just gets to the point where you're so resigned to the nonsense or you're indifferent and therefore the arguments cease.
Yes, well, so there's it happens in two different ways. If the even if the partner, if your partner's not cheating, it's exactly what you said. It's basically giving up and saying, you know, it's much easier to just disengage from the relationship than to argue. And that's a big, that's a huge problem for the relationship, even if you're not, even if the partner's not cheating. But the other reason sometimes that they stop arguing, to be honest with you, is it's not worth it because you know what? I got somebody else. I mean, and even if they're not thinking that way consciously, what they're saying is, I'm not going to argue with you because it, when arguing with you creates negative feelings and bad feelings. And you know what? I have something good in my life.
Mm.
And so they're not willing to go through it because they can turn to somebody else. So either way, when the arguing stops suddenly, even when there is still conflict, that's a red flag. And particularly if they're disengaging, you want to be careful that it's not, you want to be sure that it's not just that you're having problems and that there isn't something else going on.
Mm. Just on that note, Josh, when it comes to arguments in relationships, I've heard so many different trains of thought. I've got friends who say to me, as evidence of how great their relationship is, we never argue. We never, ever argue. And then I've got other friends who say, as evidence of how great their relationship is, oh, we've got a really fiery relationship. We will, you know, we do argue and it's what keeps the spice in the relationship. It keeps us honest. We have these things out. What's your take on arguing, fighting in a relationship?
Everything in moderation, I guess.
Mm.
Describe it. I mean, both are concerning. There are some couples that will say we never argue. And granted, look, there's lots of different people and lots of different couples in the world, and there's some couples that are so compatible that they rarely do argue. But one of your concerns are if you're never, ever, ever arguing, then you've got to ask the question, number one, is it because you're literally avoiding conflict, mm-hmm. one or both of you are avoiding conflict, or two, you're not getting deep enough into sticky issues that run through and hold people together, like how do we feel about children? How do we feel about the world? What are our thoughts about politics? What are our hopes and dreams? What are our fears? You know, these kinds of things, because you can see a lot of couples who stay at the surface, and so they never argue. Now, on the flip side, a fiery relationship is okay as long as there's positive passion. If you're constantly arguing, then that is not a good sign, because after a while, you run out of steam, and that arguing will turn to apathy. So what you're looking for are disagreements and arguments that end with you both being on the same page in terms of the relationship. If you're never arguing and always arguing, those can be problematic for the longevity of your relationship.
I once heard a relationship expert, I think it was on our show probably about a couple of years ago now, who said when you look at fighting or arguing in a relationship, you have to look at, in order to weigh up whether it's problematic or not, you have to look at whether you are fighting to win as an individual or whether you're fighting for the good of the relationship or for the betterment of the relationship. And it was something I'd never thought about before. And it suddenly all clicked to me. And the relationship that I was in at the time, and it suddenly made sense, because I thought, you know, well, we do argue. Is that a bad thing? But I knew that we were arguing for the good of the relationship. We were arguing because we wanted it to work. We wanted to build. We were arguing to build. It wasn't that I had an agenda that I wanted to be right on this and you're wrong. It's that I was fighting for or arguing for the furtherance almost of the betterment of the relationship.
Yes. Here's the slippery slope on that, though.
Okay.
You're absolutely right. 100% correct. Here's the problem about being human. We very often will start at that point. I'm disagreeing with you about something that has to do with our relationship because I don't think it's good for us, right? Mm-hmm. And that's for the betterment of the relationship. But as the emotions turn up, as we get more frustrated maybe, as we get angry, any of those things, then it's real easy to flip from I'm arguing about this for us to, damn it, they need to understand me. And then from there, it's I am going to win this so that they will understand. And it happens very quickly, very subtly. We go from the betterment of the relationship to a much more primal self, which is the I'm going to win. And you're absolutely correct. When you're in the I'm going to win, even if you didn't start that way, if you get to that point, that's where you need to tap out and calm down, because ultimately those kinds of arguments are not healthy.
Yeah, yeah. If you are just joining us this evening for Ask Dr. Josh, the topic we are talking about is the subtle signs that your partner may be cheating. Of course, we've all probably in our lives been cheated on. Some of us will have been the cheaters. But what are some of the signs? What are some of the red flags? What subtle behaviors or changes in behavior might your partner start demonstrating that you should be on the lookout for? And so far, we've been talking about the fact that they may want to start dressing differently. They may feel buoyed by a new person in their life and feel that they want to dress to impress, as it were. We've also been talking about arguing, the fact that sometimes they may simply just stop arguing. Why would they bother arguing with you? They've already got a good thing going. Yeah, they may start arguing more often. Here's one that I find fascinating. They accuse you of being unfaithful.
Oh yeah, that's a major. That is our defense mechanism,
yeah,
working at their absolute. And I say this sort of sarcastic. At their absolute finest. It is a sort of reaction formation. They take what's happening with them and they push it onto you. And what we need to understand is, sometimes it's very intentional, but sometimes it's very unconscious. So here's what happens. They know, they may not be actively cheating, but maybe they're having feelings for somebody else. There's some communication. They know it's wrong. They are fully aware that it's wrong, and it makes them feel bad, and they can't say anything, so they're just sort of wallowing in it. And so what they start doing is they start looking at you really as a reflection of themselves. And if they see any of these behaviors that maybe they're doing, they start interpreting as you're cheating. So, for example, let's say they're the ones who are starting to cheat and you start dressing differently just because you want to spice up the relationship. They may interpret that as, oh, you must have someone on the side then. Mm-hmm. And it would have never dawned on them until they're already crossed over into infidelity. Does that make sense? It's a little complex.
Yeah, no, it really does make sense, yeah. Sorry, Josh.
I was just going to say, that is our emotional way of saying, I can't deal with this. I can't deal with it. I know it's bad. I can't deal with it. So you know what? I'm going to push it all on you.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Been there, done that. We've had a message in from CJ who says, you said earlier that more sex can also be a sign. I've noticed a raise in random sex moments. While I'm driving, she would arouse me and she would want what she calls spontaneous sex. I've also noticed she's becoming freakier all the time. Should I be worried? Says CJ. Oh, hello.
Well, either happy or worried, right?
So, yeah.
So when there's a radical change, when there's a radical change in anything, I always tell people, you know, don't freak out, but there's usually a meaning to it. There's something behind it. So you'll get both extremes. You will get a partner who pulls back because, frankly, usually they're either not interested or they feel too guilty. If they're having sex with somebody else, they can't look at you and they can't sort of be with you. And that's one. The other, though, to CJ's comment, what they do sometimes is they're trying to gain it back. They're trying to to, if a spark that's gone and they're with somebody else, they're trying to see, can I feel the same with my partner?
Hmm.
And they'll get more frisky. They'll get more erotic. They'll do things more spontaneously to sort of see, can I mimic what I'm getting someplace else? Because usually underlying that is a whole lot of guilt. And the idea is, ooh, if I can have it here with my existing partner the way I'm having crazy sex with this other person, then maybe we're okay.
I'm thinking back to a time in my late teens, maybe early 20s, when I was with somebody. This is somebody who cheated on me, and I found myself after I found out, sort of looking back at various things that had gone on in the relationship. You know, like we're doing tonight. Are we arguing more? Are we arguing less? Are we having more sex? Are we having less sex? Are we having a different kind of sex? And I would. A lot of my friends would say, had asked me at the time, well, how was your sex life? And I have to say that all during that time, for me, it hadn't changed at all. There was nothing that I could pinpoint in terms of, we were having sex more, we were having sex less, we were having a different type of sex at all.
Yeah, sometimes it doesn't. I mean, this is why there's lots of different ones. Right. So, and a lot of that, Sarah Jane, is dependent both on your partner, and this is why I was saying it also depends on kind of what kind of connection they have made and the depth of connection that they have made with somebody else. They may be thinking about having an affair. They may be having an affair. They also may feel so guilty and so fearful, to be honest with you, that instead of, if you think about it, instead of avoiding sex, or may having more sex, they want it exactly the same because they don't want you know.
Yeah, keep the status quo.
That's exactly. So change is what you're looking for. You can't, there's no way to know if nothing changes, but change is what you're looking for. It's just not necessarily going to happen in all these areas.
Yeah. The next one, which is a big thing for me, not necessarily for me, but that I would think is a red flag, is the idea of micro cheating, which has only really become a thing in the past few years, with sort of online dating apps and chatting apps and social media. Just explain what we mean by micro cheating.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of micro-cheating, and what I mean by that is betrayal.
Yeah.
So micro-cheating is this idea of, well, I'm not physically intimate with them, I'm just sending them private messages. Well, if you're sending somebody private messages that you can't share with your partner, then you've already betrayed them. Period. You've betrayed them. You haven't had sex with them, this other person, but you've cheated. So it's the kind of idea that, well, it's a little cheating. I would tell you, if you catch your partner sending private messages to somebody else that they can't tell you about, that's a huge red flag. Now, have they had sex with them? I have no idea. In fact, I would almost argue that usually if you catch it early enough, they probably haven't yet. But it's a major, major sign of betrayal. Your partner should never be in a position in a committed relationship where your partner says, I'm sorry, I can't show you what I sent.
Agreed.
Unless it has to do with their job, they're a lawyer, they're a psychologist,
agreed,
you know, something like that. Your partner should if they're hiding messages or it's a surprise party for you or something like that, other than that, if that's going on, big trouble in the relationship.
I am with you 100%. My rule of thumb is this. If you need to have a password on your phone that
right.
you would not be happy for me to have, and that's not to say I want to sit going through your phone. I don't. I'm not interested. But in terms of just in the same way that if my mom had a password on her phone, she would. Do you know what I mean? There should be nothing on there that you wouldn't be happy about me seeing. If you're not happy for me to have the password on your phone, then there's a problem. These, I've got, maybe not so much now, but girlfriends of mine who would say, oh, you know, whenever he goes to the bathroom, he takes his phone. Does he? Well, I hate to tell you, girlfriend, that man is cheating on you. Or if he isn't already cheating on you, he's planning on it. Why do you need to take your phone to the bathroom? Give me a break.
Although either that or he could just be watching sports that he can't be watching outside because he's supposed to be doing something else.
Yeah.
But yes, I agree with you. I agree with you that, and let's get real about this. There may be things that you share with your friends about your significant other that you wouldn't be proud to show.
Yes.
You know, maybe you're in an argument.
Yes.
You know, I hate her right now.
Mm-hmm.
And in that way, you don't want her to see it. But that is survivable. That is, at worst, that is she's mad at you or he's mad at you. But if it's something that you cannot show at all, whether you call that micro-cheating, macro-cheating, you've already, and that's why I use the word, you have betrayed them, and in that way, you've already cheated.
Yeah, absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. But maybe you don't agree. There's 7 minutes left while we speak to Dr. Josh. Maybe you think that the so-called micro-cheating is fine. Maybe you've got a password on your phone that you haven't given to your partner. I want to hear from you. Why are you not happy to give your partner the password on your phone? And I'm always, you know, and I have to say, and maybe I'm wrong, it always tends to be men. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm prepared to stand corrected. But I mean, I've got a password on my phone. And my partner knew what the password was. That said, and here's where I think it can get a little bit murky. From my perspective, there is nothing on my phone, on my email, on my whatever that I feel guilty about. And I think this goes back to a conversation we were having maybe a couple of weeks ago, whereby it's what I as your partner may find intolerable or hurtful or consider that to be cheating. Me as the partner in question may find nothing wrong with that. The fact that I still have conversations with exes of mine, is fine to me. I know there's nothing going on. We've remained friends. So if you pick up my phone and there's a message from an ex-partner, but I've given you the password to the phone, I'm not bothered about it.
Right.
So where do we find ourselves in that conundrum? Because if I'm saying, well, listen, yeah, you can go through as much as you like and you can read as many of the emails from whoever as you like, but I don't feel guilty about it. I don't think that there's anything wrong with this. But you as the other partner say, well, why are you even having this conversation?
Well, so now comes the compromise in a relationship, because all of this works both ways. I tell people all the time, first of all, if your partner is demanding that you hand over all your passwords and you really haven't done anything, that's concerning. That'd be concerning to me. If my partner is saying, I need to see all of your passwords and I need to have access to everything you do, then that already tells me that they don't trust me.
I agree.
That's one. Now, to your question, though, let's say you hand it over and you do have a platonic relationship with an ex and it bothers your partner. Now, your partner has every right to tell you, you know, I get it, you're friends with them, but it makes me feel uncomfortable. Do you mind if maybe you don't communicate as much? Now, you have a choice. You can say yes or you can say no, but that's an appropriate request.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's saying, look, it just makes me feel uncomfortable. I'm not telling you not to ever see them again, but it seems like you talk to them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Help me understand. Let's use the terminology. Can you unpack that for me? That's a communication thing. It's when we're hiding and demanding and protecting and deceiving. That's when something usually is up.
I had a partner once who would break into my email and go through my laptop and look at all sorts of things. And really, there was absolutely no need for it. I had passwords on all this stuff, but this person had them all, had everything. Because I genuinely didn't believe I had anything to hide. And I think what you say is so interesting. If the issue at hand is the nature of the communication that you may be having with somebody who your partner doesn't agree with, that is an entirely separate issue. That is a conversation that you can sit down as two adults and say, as you say, can we unpack this? Talk to me about this relationship. But to be aggrieved or to feel that you have a right to go into somebody else's private stuff just on the basis that you're in a relationship. I think that's just nonsense.
Hey, look, I look at it this way. This thing's ridiculous. It's like my significant other's underwear drawer is in the same house as me. Mm-hmm. That's her underwear drawer. I don't feel the right to just be able, even though it's my house, to go through it. Mm. Now, you would say, that's crazy. She lives with you. I've been married 20 years. That's her private underwear. Now, can I ask her? Yeah, she might think it's a little strange, but there are certain social norms that just say, you know what, that you don't do it without asking. And that's exactly it. If your partner is hacking into your email, or even if you've given them the password, this is even worse. If you've given them the password and they're in it all the time, they've got an issue. And I know we're talking about cheating. They've got a trust issue, particularly if you've done nothing wrong.
I think I need to.
Complicated world out there.
It is a complicated world. In when we put this on podcast, which of course we will, I'm going to loop that, what you've just said. I'm going to put that on loop and send it to a few designated email addresses and just say, take note. Why are you raising your eyes at me, Malibongwe? I think I'm perfectly within my rights to do that. Dr. Josh, it's been wonderful to have you on. Thank you so much for always talking sense. I always feel a little bit healthier emotionally.